Good morning. We've talked about Thanksgiving this morning already, haven't we? But I wonder what makes you smile. I wonder what makes you happy. Perhaps a good joke or two. One day, a pastor, a vicar, and an atheist were going on a fishing trip together. And they're in the boat, and the pastor says, "Oh no, I've left the paddles on the shore." And so he proceeds to get out of the boat, walk on the water to the shore to get them. And once he'd gotten back into the boat, the vicar says, "Oh no, I've left the bait on the shore too." And so he too exits the boat, walks across the water to get the bait. And then when the vicar climbs back in to the boat, the atheist yells, "Well, if you guys can do it, so can I." And he proceeds to climb out the boat and falls in the water. At this, the pastor says, "Do you think we should have told him where the rocks are?" Another pastor was leaving his church and his area and was saying farewell to his congregation at the church doors for the last time. And he shook the hand of an elderly lady as she walked out, and she said, "You know, Pastor, your successor won't be as good as you." "Nonsense," said the pastor in a flattered tone. "No, really," said the old lady. "I've been under 5 different ministers, and each new one has been worse than the last." Different things make us smile, don't they? Have you ever wondered what makes God smile? Have you ever wondered what makes God happy? What gives God pleasure? This morning we're coming to a famous passage of scripture. You'll know that we've been working our way through Ephesians. We're dipping out of Ephesians this week. Last week I spoke on the shield of faith as part of the armour of God. And this week I want to take that idea of faith and work with it a bit more in terms of Hebrews chapter 11. So we're looking at this passage and we find out one thing that makes God smile when he looks at his people. So we're going to read Hebrews chapter 11, the whole of the chapter. So it's a long reading, but the words should appear on the screen as well. "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children, because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and He, as good as dead, came descendants and numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons. And he worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edicts. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of the Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than enjoy the fleeting desires of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as a greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched round them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon. And thank goodness he doesn't have time to tell about Gideon. We'll be here all morning. Thank goodness. But I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword. Whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refused to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and floggings and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us they would be made perfect. But here in Hebrews 11, we find out what makes God smile about his people, what pleases him about those who are followers of Christ. And the author of Hebrews is writing to Jewish Christians who'd been through trials, who'd been through suffering, and they were beginning to question their faith. They were perhaps beginning to think about reverting back to Judaism and away from Christianity. And the whole of the book of Hebrews in the New Testament is an argument that in Christ, the old covenant of the Old Testament has gone. A new covenant has come. And at the end of chapter 10, the author makes that plea for people to continue in their faith, to persevere, to not shrink back from Jesus Christ. And then the author begins this amazing chapter, which I just read. And there is this continual underlying drumbeat throughout it. That continual rhythm, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. And hopefully you pick that up. There is this rhythm throughout that whole chapter. A continual rhythm rising to that crescendo that invites us to join these people, to be part of that rhythm. Living our lives by faith, by faith. The author of Hebrews lays out this great sweep of the heroes of the faith to inspire us, to invite us to be part of the same story. Why? Verse 6. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And hidden away in this amazing chapter, we learn the one thing that makes God smile. The one thing that makes God pleased with his people. Faith. And in writing this, the author of Hebrews goes one step further and says, actually, only the life of faith pleases God. Without faith, it is impossible to please our God. Now, there may be other things that bring God pleasure, but they must all be built on the life of faith. It is the rhythm of faith in our lives that makes God smile, but that pleases him. In verse 2, we're told that faith is what the ancients were commended for. Faith is what pleases God and what he commends people for. And this faith is defined in verse 1. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We hope for the promises of God, looking to the future for them and trusting God for them. Faith is trusting and looking to God, trusting him for everything in life. His promises, the things he says, but we cannot yet see. And notice here in Hebrews 11, faith is not about holding a certain set of beliefs. It's not about signing up to a belief statement. This is important, and you see this elsewhere in the New Testament. But here in Hebrews 11, the kind of faith that the author of Hebrews holds up as something that pleases God is the faith which is a dynamic living relationship with God. Abel, Noah, Abraham, Moses are not commended for signing up to a statement of belief. They're commended for living a dynamic life of faith as they faced different situations in life. As God called them to do different things, their faith was active. They were commended for faith in action. A faith that is lived out. A faith that impacted their lives. By faith, they did this. By faith, they did that. Faith is active. It is not passive. And notice here also in Hebrews 11, faith is not pictured as the road to health, wealth, and prosperity. You only have to look at the stories of all those heroes of faith to realize that sometimes In faith, we face struggle. In faith, we face difficulty. Yet we see the heroes of faith holding on to faith, even if they were facing disaster or that difficulty. They were commended for a trusting, persevering spirit in spite of circumstance. Now, one of the most fascinating verses in this chapter is verse 16. And in describing those who live the dynamic life of faith, the writer talks about Abraham. Abraham who left his life to follow God to a strange land. Sarah, his wife, and Abraham, who were enabled by God to have a child at an old age. Abraham who trusted in the promise of descendants as numerous as the stars. The writer says because Abraham and Sarah were living a life of faith, God is not ashamed to be called their God. God says, I will be your God and you will be my people to them. God wasn't ashamed to be the God of this strange nomadic family of Abraham and Sarah. God wasn't ashamed to be the God of the unknowns. God wasn't ashamed to be the God of the broken and the sinful. God is not ashamed to be the God of you and me if we live that dynamic life of faith. God is not ashamed to be associated with us. Our faith, flawed as we are, means that he will say to the whole world, see that Charlotte? She's mine. I'm her God. I am pleased with her because she's living that dynamic life of faith. See that Ruth? She's mine. I'm her God. I'm pleased with her. She is living that dynamic life of faith. When we live that dynamic life of faith, God is not ashamed to be called our God. Now, right throughout Hebrews 11, we see the role of faith in the sweep of human history from creation to new creation, from old covenant under Moses to new covenant in Christ, from birth of humanity to birth of humanity in eternal life. And the rhythm by faith, by faith, by faith is beating throughout it. That dynamic life of faith touches everything. By faith, we're told, we understand that God created the universe. As a trained scientist, I did physics at university and then went on and did a PhD in physics as well. I have to say, I agree with what the author of Hebrews writes here. We cannot prove scientifically that God created the world. Our knowledge of God as creator is always by faith. We're told by faith, Abel made an offering to God. His offering was not just a habit. It was not just a formality that had to be done. But he took his offering in a dynamic living faith and offered it to his God. Our own offerings from our own lives need to be made out of that life of faith. What do we offer to God? Do we do it just because we have to? Or do we do it because we have faith in the one to whom we are offering? We're told by faith Noah heard the warning of judgment and built the ark. Noah had faith in God's words. When God spoke, he listened. He heard God's call and God's warnings. When we hear God listen, do we step out in faith? By faith, Abraham and Sarah left their home and trusted God's promise. For them, there was the faith in hearing the call of God, hearing God's voice to go somewhere to do something, to have the courage to follow. What is God calling you to do this morning? Have you heard his voice? Do you have the courage to follow and step out in faith, just like Abraham and Sarah did, trusting the promises of God, trusting God's words? Even if you may not see the fulfillment of that before you die. We're told by faith, Abraham, when tested by God, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. There is the faith in the times of testing, the times when we really don't understand what is going on, the times where everything seems a mystery, where God perhaps seems to say one thing and then other things happen which seem to contradict it. The time of testing. Will we stand firm in our faith? Just like Abraham did when he offered Isaac. And we're told by faith, Isaac then later blessed Jacob. And by faith, Jacob blessed Joseph's son and worshipped. There was a faith in blessing others. There's a faith in our worship that is expressed. And our worship should be full of faith. Earnestly seeking God. Believing that he exists and rewards those who earnestly seek him, as it says in verse 6 of this chapter. Our worship is not by rote, mechanical repetition, not by familiarity, but is about by faith as we draw close to God. By faith, we're told Moses' parents hid him. And by faith, Moses left a privileged life to be part of the people of God. There was a faith under persecution. A faith trusting God, even though people treat us cruelly. A faith that continues even though people may make fun of our faith. At work, at college, in our families. A faith by which we still trust the living God and live out that. A faith that is willing to leave that privileged life behind to follow God, just as Moses did. Leaving behind riches and pleasures. The kind of faith that says, this thing will only give me temporary pleasure. But God will give me a reward that lasts forever. So in faith, I choose God's way. By faith, the Israelites passed through the Red Sea. By faith, they marched around the walls of Jericho and God brought the walls down. Sometimes there's a faith which seems so bizarre, but seems so strange when God tells us to do something. But there is the faith to believe that God can do the miraculous. Because nothing is impossible with our God. By faith, Rahab welcomes the spies. Faith help in terms of helping those in need. Perhaps even those whom society would like to do away with. By faith. And the author of Hebrews speeds up as then he mentions all those other people like Gideon. And we could carry this rhythm by faith, by faith, by faith down the centuries. As we look through the history of the church, as we look through the history of this church. In 2 weeks' time, we're celebrating our 120th church anniversary. By faith, by faith, by faith, is the rhythm which has been through the history of this church. The reason that we are here today is because of the faith of those who came before us. The reason a church stands in this location is because the rhythm of faith continued through the generations. Will we continue that rhythm to the generations that come after us? Will we continue to be living examples of faith? Just as we see the people here in Hebrews 11 are examples of faith. Now, faith is meant to be part of the whole of life. And it's something that we see through this whole chapter. There is nothing in life that cannot be touched by faith. There is nothing in life where faith cannot make a difference. Faith at the center of everything enables us to please God in everything and to know His smile on our life. And before we think the people in Hebrews 11 are a bit like some of the superheroes that we see on television, Marvel superheroes and all that kind of stuff, Superman, Spider-Man, etc. Actually, if you read Hebrews 11, they're not people with extraordinary powers. They're not people who can do wonderful things that other people cannot. These people here are just ordinary people in Hebrews 11. And they do extraordinary things because they live by faith. They trusted God's words. They trusted God's promises. And because of that, they did extraordinary things. And we can be just like them if we live the dynamic life of faith. Maybe we won't walk through the Red Sea on dry land. But as we live out life in faith, God will use us to do other extraordinary things. We can all be heroes of the faith. And then we can all know God's smile and God's pleasure with us. All it takes is living an ordinary life in step with God and trusting Him, knowing His words and His ways, and living them out, and seeking in faith to incorporate them in our lives, and never giving up, even when it's tough. What is it you face today? Illness? Struggle? Maybe joy? By faith, you can do all these things. And remember, nothing is so big that it cannot be tackled with faith. You know, William Carey, who lived in the 18th century, was known as the founder and father of modern missions. And he was the first missionary that was sent out by the Baptist Missionary Society. And he had a motto, and it was this: expect great things of God, attempt great things for God. Expect great things of God, attempt great things for God. That motto is a call to live by faith. A call to trust our God and live that dynamic faith. So we have that rhythm of faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. That is the call for this passage. And by faith is the only way we can know the pleasure and the smile of God. So let's recommit ourselves to living that rhythm of faith out in our lives today. To follow in the footsteps of the heroes that we read in Hebrews 11, the footsteps of the heroes of faith that have been in this church for the last 120 years. So that when people look back at us in 120 years' time, when this church is 240 years old, they say, I can see that rhythm by faith, by faith, by faith in these people's lives. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we can come to you this morning through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because of what he has done on the cross for us. We thank you that although we're broken, although we're flawed, as we put our trust in you, you look upon each of us as individuals and smile and say, you are my child and I love you. And I want to live in relationship with you. I want you to know me more. Lord, we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us and shown yourself to us. But Lord, we pray that you may help us to grow our faith so that that rhythm of by faith, by faith, by faith, maybe something that permeates our whole being, so that we live each minute and every second of every day in whatever circumstance we face by faith to your glory alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.